Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that was read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and let us read now from verse 25. Matthew 5 and at verse 25. Verse 25 to 29. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the place behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. It's the passage in another gospel that we were trying to speak on quite recently. Only on that occasion we were speaking on the healing of Jairus' daughter. This time it's the woman who had the hemorrhage and wanted to be healed. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was made well. Just a touch, just a touch in his garment, and she was healed from her plague, as it is called. And the daughter of Jairus, she might have been left in the state of death for a little longer, but it wasn't anything drawn out. Jesus stopped and healed that woman. It was a fulfillment in terms of disease, of the Savior carrying out what he said in terms of spiritual things. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The woman that we are to consider, she got a benefit from Jesus along these lines. And many a one since then has had a benefit from the same Savior, in that they came to Christ and they were not cast away. They were not repulsed. They were not put back. They were not cast out. Well, we have 3 points this evening. First, to consider her need. Second, her healing. And third, her faith. First, there is her need. She had this long-standing hemorrhage. It was going on presumably day after day, and very much so year after year. Second, there was her healing when she came to Jesus. She came to Jesus and was healed. And what a blessing that was, to get healing. Well, what a blessing for the sinner, coming to Jesus and getting healing. And in the third place, her faith had made her whole. And that's what we need spiritually. Coming back then to her need. And we'll just turn to Leviticus 15 so that we can read from the section that deals with this subject at verse 19. And we will try and just notice one or two things about it. And what it says in the law is, if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she should be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. Now, unclean that is ceremonially unclean. It wasn't that there was anything that would in itself do any harm to anyone, but it's taken as a symbol of spiritual uncleanness, because all diseases, all illnesses are the result of sin, not at all the necessarily the result of sin, but it's because of sin that there is any illness or anything wrong with anybody's body. And it's a picture of what is wrong with people's souls. And David, was he thinking of things like this when he wrote Psalm 38, when he was saying, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness? And you have it in Psalm 69, foolishness used to represent sin. And that's what David has in mind. My foolishness, my sin. And sin is foolish. We can think of sin in the Garden of Eden and say to ourselves, wasn't Adam foolish? Wasn't Eve foolish? And yet, we're doing the same sort of thing ourselves. We're going away in sin. Of course, that had a particular element of foolishness about it, because that was Eve and Adam going away into sin for the first time, lending their ear to the devil, so to speak. Now, you see, sin is foolishness. And somebody who is acting foolishly, somebody is going away in the course of sin, they need healing. They need to be put right. That's what we need. And we're to go to the Lord. You see what an example this woman is. That it's, I'm not at that stage really yet. But what an example. She had something wrong with it, and she did something about it. Well, we have something wrong with it, and that's sin and the practice of sin, and sin as a force for evil in our lives. That's foolishness. It's a disease, a spiritual disease. And so we should be going to the Lord that we might obtain mercy. We should be going to the Lord that we might obtain mercy. You see, sin is not some almost unknown disease that nobody knows what to do about it. It's not that at all. We know what we should do about sin, or what should be done about sin. We should go to the Redeemer. There is a cure. Now, that's a great matter for somebody who has some unusual illness, that it's known that there's something that can be done about it. Well, that's what we should learn. There's this need, sin, but there's something that can be done about it. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And there's no disease that is so unusual, in terms of sin, but that something can be done about it. There's a cure. And if somebody finds out their great need because of sin, whatever particular sin they may be practicing, they can still be told with authority, there's a cure. What a blessing that is. When somebody comes to some degree of conviction of sin, what a blessing that they need not despair. They must not despair. What a blessing. What a blessing that they can go to the Savior, that there is a Savior to go to, so that they can be healed from that disease. For a disease that loathsome is, so fills my loins with pain, that in my weak and weary flesh, no soundness doth remain. That's Psalm 38 again. Yes, there's something that can be done about sin. Sin is a terrible disease. How many it draws down to eternal destruction. But loathsome though it is, long-lasting though it is, this woman was ill for 12 years. How wailing that must have been. But she knew about it. And she was looking for a doctor that would help her. And she spent all her money. And she was nothing the better, but rather the worse. That's a predicament to be in. If you had a health service that is entirely private and you have to pay for it all, how difficult, how wearing, if you get to the end of the 12 years or whatever it might be, 24 years perhaps, and you're no better. No matter how many doctors you go to, at the end of the consultation, it's always, I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you. You hear about someone else, and he's supposed to be very good. You go to him, and the consultation comes to an end, and it's this, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And it goes on and on and on, until your resources are exhausted. You had some money to start with, and you could pay the fees for the consultation, but it's all wasted. Nobody's helping you. You've still got this hemorrhage or whatever the disease is. You're not getting rid of it. And you see, if we only go to doctors on the human level, if we don't hear about Christ, and that's a sad thing, and if we don't get any good from, and will not get good, not real lasting good, from going to any spiritual doctor, to call them that. Go to one, go to another, and then a third, and so on. And they can't help you. They can't put your soul right. They can't take away the sin that has such power over you. This is the position of the woman, and it's intended to illustrate the spiritual situation. We must get the right doctor. Spiritually speaking, we must get the right one. We must get the one that can heal the soul. That's what we need. That's what we need to be looking for. Search wherever you will. And you don't have far to go, in another sense. You don't have far to go. You have to go to Christ. And how ready Christ is to take fresh patience. You see, in some spheres, as you know, I know, it can be difficult to get somebody to help you with your teeth. Well, very difficult. And at least in some ways, you don't need to spend time on that. But you see, what I'm saying is, here we have a need. It's a serious need to get somebody to put our souls right. And that's the one we need. The spiritual doctor, who is Christ. Christ can heal. But if it's not to Christ we go, we're still in our need. And may the Lord impress these things upon our souls, that we must go to Christ, otherwise we're lost, otherwise we're nothing the better, but rather the worse. We'll be getting harder. Now, what a serious thing it is to be getting harder. Our souls becoming more resistant to the truth. And apart from coming to him, we'll never get any better. We'll never be softened. Yes. And you see, let me quote from Romans chapter 3, where it speaks about the seriousness of sin, of the disease of sin. How it's something we all suffer. There might be, there are, I believe, those here, and a good number here, who are in the process of being healed. They met the physician, they met the doctor, and he's working. He doesn't bring the work of healing to an end in one day, normally anyway. He did with the thief on the cross, for instance. But you see the emphasis on the fact of sin affecting everybody. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. That's our position. That's what we should acknowledge. And acknowledge it before God. And you see, if we're going to go to God, if we're going to go to Christ as the great healer, and you can go back to Old Testament times, when the Lord was making known, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now that would have been true in the first instance in connection with the children of Israel's bodily health, but no doubt, as in all these things, there was this being pictured for them. They had a spiritual disease. And where were they to go? They were to go to the Lord himself. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the one that can cure. I am the one that can keep you from all becoming sick at once, bodily, at any of you, at any stage. And I'm sure that happened very often when people were migrating from one place to another and someone took ill and couldn't keep up with the rest. They might just have been left behind. But that's not the way with the Lord. However old someone has become, however frail, however decrepit, one might even say, the Lord is still able to heal the soul. Never give up. That's one of the most important things that we should learn about the health of our souls. Don't give up. Don't give up seeking. But keep on looking to Christ, and even start looking to Christ. Hear what he is saying. Look unto me. But it's the need that I am trying to speak about. Yes. And you see, because of the spiritual situation that people are in this world, if they do not go to the doctor spiritually, if they do not get healing for their souls, then they'll not get into heaven. They may die, but they'll not get into heaven. As you have in Revelation 21, they shall in no wise, that's an emphatic expression, something absolutely impossible. There shall in no wise enter into it, into heaven, anything that defileth. Nothing. No one. You see, that makes the need all the more drastic. But let us go on to notice the woman being healed. There was healing for her, and I couldn't keep away from that aspect of things. But let us try and go into it more to a greater extent. And notice first what Jesus was saying. Virtue hath gone out of me. It was as much as to say healing has gone out of me. Healing power has gone out of me. That was the Son of God in our need. That was the spiritual doctor. That's who it was. And this woman comes uninvited. This woman comes craving for healing. Heal me, O Lord. As the psalmist said, we can apply or bring the two things together. Heal me, O Lord, for I've sinned against thee. Let us go this evening to the one who is able to heal. Heal me, O Lord, for I've sinned against thee. When I cannot put myself right, when nobody else can put me right, when none of that innumerable collection of doctors could do nothing for me, yet I come to thee. And I realize that however little contact there may be between me and thee, thou art able to heal. That's the language of this woman. Well, it's not her language, but it's the kind of way she is thinking, the kind of way she is speaking. I am able to, thou art able to heal. And that's the kind of language we should have. When we realize something about our sin and the disease that loathsome is. Sin is loathsome to those who know something properly. Others might not notice it. Others might not feel it. But that's the truth. You see, the Lord is saying to us, I am able to heal. When you've tried in so many other ways and failed, I am able to heal. And that's it. That's still it. All these 2,000 years since Christ was going about doing good, he's still doing good. He's not going about in this world to do good. I mean physically. He's going about spiritually to do good. And we should value that. We should thank God for that. We should appreciate that. Because that's what we need. That's what we need more than anything else in this world. We need to have a meeting with Christ. Would it be out of place to consider to continue the pattern? I need to have a consultation with Christ. I need to go into his presence, as it were. I need to put my situation before. I need to say, this is my condition, and it's not a good condition, and it's a dangerous condition. Lord, heal me. Lord, make me what I am not. Lord, put me right. Oh, let us seek to pray. And what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ. But you see, what's agreeable to the will of God? What would, when we pray for that is agreeable to the will of God? What could this woman do that is agreeable to the will of God? It was to go out and touch and make contact with Christ. You see? To make contact with Christ. That's what we should be seeking to do. How can we make contact with Christ? Well, to answer in one word, by faith. That's how we're to make contact with Christ. And that's what the woman did. She touched the hem of his garment. Seems so appropriate. Could she not put her hand on his arm or something that seemed more like making contact with him? Well, that's all that she felt able to do. But the point was, there was real faith in it. There was real faith. And that might be a big question with many. Was that real faith? I thought I had an experience on some occasion, but was it real faith? Well, we can leave that for the moment at least. But, you see, to refer back to Leviticus 15, we read that after a woman was cleansed of her issue, and the point was that she was healed. But what about the ceremonial uncleanness? Is that something to teach us? She was to take, or the priest on her behalf was to offer up a sin offering and a burnt offering to make atonement for it. You see, this cleansing of her hemorrhage was intended to illustrate the removal of her, of the power of sin. In the first place, perhaps we could put a removal of the guilt of sin, but the cleansing of her soul. That's the healing of the disease. The cleansing of her soul, that was the result of the work of the Spirit for Christ's sake. You see? The cleansing of her soul for the sake of Christ. And that was based on his offering. And that was illustrated by the burnt offering and the sin offering that were offered up. She was cleansed. What a blessing. What a blessing indeed to be cleansed from the sin that had been all-powerful in her soul. Yes. And we go back, not time-wise, but we go back another step to Christ and the sacrifice that he offered up. The good shepherd, we are told, he giveth his life for the sheep. And the good shepherd himself said a bit more than that in that context. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life instead of the sheep. That's the thing. It's substitution, as you often hear. And it's an important truth. And we're to be paying attention to it. We're to be meditating on it. The good shepherd, Christ Jesus, came into the world to find a flock of sheep. And he must give himself up to suffer and die instead of the sheep. If the sheep are to be saved, if the sheep are to be delivered, and yes they are. So he came into this world. He's a good shepherd, the one who has a heart that has an affection for the sheep. He gives himself to die in that place. Christ dying for sinners. That's the gospel. The gospel in an action. Christ dying instead of the sheep. They were sentenced to die eternally. But Christ comes. He takes their place. He dies instead. He bears away their guilt. That's it. He bears away their guilt. And that's how it is for sinners. How are they to be delivered from the wrath to come? How are they to be delivered from the power of sin? It's through Christ dying instead. Their iniquity being laid upon Christ, that he might bear it away, that he might be the shepherd who dies instead of the sheep. Yes. And you see, moving on from the removal of guilt, which is most obvious in the sacrifices, but see Ezekiel 36. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. The cleansing of the soul. It's clean water, pure water. It's not water, but it represents water. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall be clean. The one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is cleansed. The power of sin is removed. It is washed away. Christ coming to heal sinners. When he makes known the gospel, when he calls sinners to believe in him, yet to come to him, he's calling them to forsake sin. He's calling them to look to him and to receive cleansing as well as forgiveness. You see? Cleansing. A full salvation, you might put it. And we're to bear that in mind. How full the salvation is that is in Christ Jesus. And the gospel and its cleansing power came among the Thessalonians. And what Paul says is that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Instead of going away from God, like Adam and Eve did and many another, they came to God. They were reconciled to God. They were brought near. You see, that's the result of the gospel being applied with power to the soul. They turned to God. Their souls were cleansed. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Instead of following their own desires and their own ideas in one way or another, and there's an idolatry, serious idolatry in refusing to come to Christ, following the ways of the world and the ways of sin and unbelief. You see, that's very much at the center of our waywardness, our spiritual waywardness. We need to be cleansed. We need a new heart. We need to be put right. There's all these things that we can consider. Yes. But the work of salvation, when this doctor undertakes it, it's bound to be effective. And it will be, the sinner will be saved to the uttermost. The sinner will be cleansed to the uttermost. As you have it in Hebrews 7, he is able also to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's living in heaven. He's going before the throne of God making intercession. He's going before the throne of his Father to present the merits of his suffering. You see, if we are brought to pray, where's the merit there? Where's the hope there? Where's the possibility of an answer there? There's no merit in ourselves, but he is able to save them to the uttermost that come into God through him. He who died, he who made redemption, he who made reconciliation possible, he is able to save to the uttermost. You see, there's hope. There's hope for you, sinner, if you are looking for salvation. There's hope for you. You can be saved to the uttermost. Yes. But come to Christ. It's only through him. It's not through trying to cleanse yourself. It's not through anything of that nature. It's through Christ. Able to save to the uttermost. Able to save to the very last degree. That's what's been said before us. It's not a maybe salvation. It's possible that you will be saved. But if you believe in Christ, you will be saved. That's the great matter about this great salvation. But there's your faith, and that's the third thing. You see, there was the nobleman who came to Christ asking that his daughter would be healed, and He wanted Jesus to go home with him. He would heal her if he went home. What Jesus does is he sends the man home and he promises him that if he goes home, he will find his daughter healed. And that's what happened. And he uses this as a parallel to the woman. He says, he speaks of the nobleman who believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. That's in faith. We are to believe the word that Jesus has spoken. The word the Savior spoke to this woman. We might glance at, I hope we will glance at a few things in the account. But the major thing is that she believed. First of all, she believed what Jesus said. And so are we. As far as the gospel is concerned, we are to believe what Jesus is saying. We are to believe what he said about himself as the good shepherd, that he gave his life for the sheep, that he gave his life for sinners, and that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we are to be resting ourselves upon these great matters. We are to be resting ourselves on the salvation of our souls, on the salvation that God has provided. The salvation that he broadcasts, that he sends through the preaching of the word in our time. Yes. He has come into this world, he said, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. And that is true. However weak the sinner's faith is, and there is a weakness with this woman's faith, and yet we can see a strength in this woman's faith. She came to Christ, and she came forward, she touched the hem of his garment. You see, why could she not go and speak to him? Why could she not put her hand on his shoulder? That might have indicated stronger faith. And in another way, the fact that she did take such a way, rather than the others I'm suggesting, did suggest that there was an element of strength to her faith. She had heard various things about them, and she acts on it. We have heard many things about Christ. Are we acting on it? Are we coming to Christ? Are we believing? Are we trusting? And that's the other thing I would mention just now. There's believing what Jesus said, but there's also trusting in Jesus in relation to what he said. We are told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's trust. And the jailer in Philippi trusted, just as Paul and Silas trusted, and many other ones since then. They trusted in Christ as the one who had been exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance. Notice, to give freely. No charge, absolutely free. That's the salvation that Christ has provided. That's the salvation that the Father sent the Son into the world to provide. A salvation that doesn't need to be earned. The salvation that we need, the salvation that is in Christ, is a salvation that doesn't need to be earned. And we're sinning seriously if we do not receive that salvation. If we're looking for something else, if we're not satisfied with the salvation that God has provided, then we're sinning seriously. Yes. Now, you see how the Savior dealt with the woman, and he asked who touched my clothes? The disciples were rather surprised at that. The people were milling about. The people were pressing on, and perhaps they weren't milling around. There mightn't have been room for that. But the thing is, how could he know? How could he know who it was that touched? Lots of people touched. But it was the touch that was connected with virtue going out of it. Well, he best knew that, but also the woman, because she was healed, because the hemorrhage stopped. She knew in herself that she was healed. Yes. And that's, you see, what was intended here, that a confession would be drawn out of this woman, that she wouldn't go away without acknowledging to Christ that she had obtained mercy, that she wouldn't go away without acknowledging to Christ, and also before other people. Yes, and you see, that's what the Savior is calling for when sinners come to Christ, when sinners believe in him. They are not to go any further through life without acknowledging what he has done for them. And the people of God here, yes, there may be many a difficulty. There may be many difficulties in making that acknowledgement. That one would assume that this was a very shy woman, and yet she doesn't take to flight when the Savior speaks to her. She makes an open confession that she touched the Savior's clothes. Yes. She acknowledges this. There were the words of faith, but these were inward. If I may attach but his clothes, I shall be whole. And the woman, though she was fearing and trembling, she knew what had been done in her, and she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him all the truth. Ah, well, may people here who have obtained mercy and haven't told, as it were, the Savior all the truth. They've told him some things, told him many a thing, perhaps. They tell him when they go on their knees in their room, they tell him many a thing. But is there something you haven't told the Savior? You haven't told him all the truth, told him many things. Well, that's what the Savior is showing you in this example, the example of this woman. Yes, and you see the benefit she got. He said various things to it, and perhaps far more than we are told in the accounts in the Gospels. There was this: thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith and healing, they're put together. Faith and healing. He gave her faith, and she exercised faith. He gave her healing, and she was healed. But still, happy though she would have been with the healing, and though that was an enormous blessing, and there was this sign of uncleanness, and it had been taken away. What a blessing. What an encouragement. God hears prayer, you can almost hear her say. God hears prayer. Yes. And there was faith. There was a receiving of the truth. And there was an encouragement to that faith. Yes. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, not even himself, not even his flesh, but if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole, I shall be healed. And straightway, at once, The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed. And the Saviour said to her, go in peace. Perhaps here as elsewhere it is, enter into peace. Enter into an appreciation of the peace, of the reconciliation that there is between you and God. What an encouragement if that was applied to those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a strengthening for the future. Enter into peace. And whether they hear it properly or not, each one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has that said to them. Yes, the Savior is saying to you, believe it. However weak you may feel, enter into peace or go in peace. Go with a sense that you are at peace with God and God is at peace with you. Yes. And you see, there's to be a coming to Christ. There's to be a touching his garments, however you might express it. A looking into Jesus again and again and again. And you're to do it in the light of Peter's words at the end of his second epistle. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Do not stop where you are. Do not stay in with a sense of the blessings that you have had before. Yes, value them. Yes, thank the Lord for them. But go on, grow in grace and in the knowledge. The two are linked. And in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the one who came into this world to save sinners, as the one who has ascended to heaven, as the one who is at the right hand of the Father, as the one who is occupying the offices of prophet, priest and king. And see that you make good use of them. Yes. See that you make good use of the blessings that Christ is holding out to you in the gospel. Believe again. Believe in these aspects of the life and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And seek to go on. Seek to go further than you have ever gone before. Make use of all the means of grace. Make use as much as you possibly can of the word preached in particular, and the sacrament. That's not to be neglected. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper as a strengthening ordinance. You might say, I am too weak. Well, no. It's God that gives grace. It's God that gives strength. But come, if you have reason to believe that you have passed from death into life, if you have reason to believe that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, these are all things that God has given for the strengthening of his people, for the strengthening of their faith, for their strengthening in every respect. Yes. And it's the good shepherd who is the gracious doctor who is at the head of the table. Remember that. He doesn't send anyone a warfare at their own charges. He doesn't send them out to battle against sin and unbelief and everything else and say it in their own strength. He gives strength. And this is one of the means that he uses to give strength. Yes, here is an example. Here is an illustration of the Lord giving a healing and the Lord responding graciously and lovingly and kindly and strengtheningly to those who come to him and supplies all their needs and gives the promise that he will supply all their needs. And remember the Savior's call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I would give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, bless us. Take each of us under thine own loving care. May thy word be with power. And do not leave any of us to ourselves. Do not leave the weak ones of the sheep to themselves, but grant to strengthen them, and grant to go before them, and give them strength and more strength, O Lord, that we might be laying ourselves upon thee, and that we would come, that we might obtain mercy, and find grace to help in every time of need. Bless thy word declared today. May a blessing follow it, and may a blessing follow thy word in all parts of the world. On this particular Sabbath, may we be looking unto Jesus. May our trust be in him. Go before us now and always. Grant that we might have thy blessing, and that we would get good for our souls, for time and for eternity. Grant to build up thy cause. Add many more stones to the wall of thy church. And he grant to be taking glory to thyself in the salvation of sinners. Keep us, Lord. Be among us. Speak to us in our hearts. And grant to do exceeding abundantly in us and for us, abundantly above what we ask or think. Pardon us, bless us, make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.